son, and when he sort of began to return, that his father came out to him and met him when he was on the way. And so it is as we continue our pilgrimage of grief for Lent, in our fasting, in our priest prayer, and almsgiving, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ comes to us to meet us halfway. So then he can lead us as a procession, as it were, with his cross going before us, to Jerusalem and to the auspicious events of the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord. So today we particularly focus on the cross. And St. Gregory of Palamas has quite a very wonderful, all of his writings are wonderful. I guess a particularly wonderful homily on the life of the cross. And he says that the tree in paradise, of which Adam and Eve ate the sin, foreshadows the mystery of the cross. And what St. Gregory does is he actually goes all the way back to the beginning and says that the cross, or the activity of the cross and the blessing of the cross, was present even at the time of the fall. And so he says that the tree of paradise foreshadows the mystery of the cross. And he says, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the fruit of the tree, they and we, the children of Adam and Eve, died. That is, their souls and our souls became subject to sin and death. And St. Paul says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And clearly, when we look inside of ourselves, I think we see this reality. And we see that the noble things that we want to think about, to contemplate, are often overcome by the desires of our flesh. So St. Gregory goes on and says, God, however, is spirit, absolute goodness and virtue, and our spirit is after his image and likeness, although sin has distorted and defiled our spirit. So, how could anyone at all be spiritually renewed and reconciled with God unless sin and life according to the flesh is abolished? And very powerful statement. He goes on and says, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ abolished sin on the cross. And quotes the Abba Milesius, a desert father from the 5th century, when he was asked if he believed in Christ crucified, he responded, yes, I believe in him who crucified sin. So what's fascinating is we see physical object of crucified Christ on the one hand, but what Abba, what his father says is that, Abba Milesius says is that he crucified sin. So his body was crucified, but sin was overcome and nailed to the cross. So the Gregory goes and says, so dear fathers and brothers and sisters in Christ, God himself has borne witness that there were many before the law and after the law who had the vision of righteousness, became friends of God, and resisted and held sin at bay as they awaited Christ's victory through his death upon the cross and his glorious resurrection. So here, St. Gregory, once again, he's going way back, immediately all the way to the fall, and recognizing that because they were fighting against sin and struggling against sin and overcoming by the grace of God, as each one could at that time, sin itself. So it says, Abel, Seth, Enoch, Noah, and all those up until Noah were pleasing to God. And so were Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets and faithful who bore witness to the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, so clearly there was this understanding that the Lord had come. But they're bearing witness because they entered into the struggle against the desires of the flesh. And not just the flesh in physical sense, but also the sinful thoughts that we have and the sinful emotions that we have. And they struggled against them in order to be obedient to God. He said, Abraham took up the cross and he left his homeland in obedience to God. And I've always marveled at this because can you imagine in these very primitive times, one's identity was actually totally wrapped up with his family and his tribe and so on. And yet, Abraham, summoned by God himself, broke away from this and pursued the eternal homeland, looking for it and for the knowledge of God and for relationship with God. And so he was obedient to the call of God. And this, St. Gregory says, is also the cross. Likewise, Moses took up the cross and crucified the carnal mind when he fled from Egypt. He put off his shoes, that is, he renounced his life, and climbed the Mount Sinai to behold the glory of God on behalf of the children of Israel in all subsequent generations of the faithful up until our own time. So again, once again, Moses bore the cross in his interior life and gave up the life of this world and entered into a life in relationship to God. And so Moses, of course, we remember him as the God-seer. And so it was with all the prophets and the servants of God who resisted demonic pride and pleasures of the flesh, and with Moses and Jacob mounted the ladder of divine ascent, waiting the glorious coming of Christ. Take up the cross. And what does this mean? means is we have to deny our passions. We have to deny our evil thoughts. We have to deny our selfishness. We have to deny all of that within us that leads us to sin. And we have to pick up the cross and follow our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we reflect on this, we find ourselves in a context, in a sort of social context, not in a broader sense, the world in which we live, where the whole object seems to be to not actually make sacrifices, not actually change our interior life, not challenge our sinful thoughts, and where everything is geared toward ourself. This seems to be, and at all costs, to try to not have discomfort. And the way of the cross, if we look at the Holy Fathers and the ascetics who are our example, and we know that we're not going to be like the desert fathers in the desert, where they renounce everything to do with the world and their own will, obedience to their elders. We're not going to reach that state or be in that state. But we need to very clearly look at whether we immerse ourselves in the life of self-gratification and comfort, and whether we immerse ourselves in all those things that are distractions to spiritual life, things that draw us away from self-sacrifice and allow us to immerse ourselves in the very many pleasures. And we know that, obviously, for example, everything that we find in television and in the videos and all the various platforms have nothing to do, as it were, to denying ourselves, denying our self-will, and denying our pleasures. In fact, it's all geared toward putting us to sleep, putting us in a state of sleep where we don't feel pain necessary, pain that causes us to, in the context of our faith, where essentially we have this choice. We can either numb our consciousness and fill our hearts and minds with pleasures that seem to put to rest the struggles within, or we can rise up in prayer and fasting and the love of God and confront these distractions through prayer and through fasting. And it's amazing that in the world today, given how far it's fallen into the pleasures of the flesh and the darkness of self-gratification, that we have the Holy Orthodox Church. And the service we're celebrating today has been celebrated for centuries, more than 1,000 years. And it has the same message. It's the same message. In that day, it's irrelevant, disregarding the culture we live in. The message is very, very clear. In order to enter into the resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, we have to take up the cross, even as the prophets of old took up the cross and left, as it were, the former life of life in the world, life in sin, and turn toward and struggle for life in Christ. So on this day, may we, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, turn our hearts and minds to the life of Christ. Let us get out our prayer books. Let us remove whatever's in front of the icons and dedicate ourselves warriors that are taught to disregard the demons, not to engage them. You disregard them. And because you try to fight with them, they're going to beat you up and leave you, in a comatose state, lying on the floor. But what we can do is we take up the armor that God gives us through the Word of God, and we strengthen ourselves even as we weaken our bodies through fasting. What we're doing is weakening our passions, and I think we all know that we all consume a lot more than we actually need, and we do that for the sake of pleasure. And so we have this opportunity in fasting to struggle for a time against these passions, so that our soul can be purified, and so it can be cleansed. Because we're struggling in our fasting not for vanity, not to lose weight or to change our figure or something like that, but we're struggling in order to draw ourselves toward Christ. And I think people who have fasted for a time, you become sensitive. Actually, your senses become more, they're more open and they're more vibrant. And so it is so that we can see the glory of God and we can participate in His love, in His life. That as we continue and complete our pilgrimage to Holy Week and we get the resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior.